good to be in the house of the Lord. How many of you guys are having a good new year so far? All right, a few of us. For the rest of you, we're going to pray that you also will have a wonderful new year as well. So the saints are playing, but the saints of God are on the march. Amen. The saints of God has the momentum. The enemy has been defeated. Christ has won. He has paid for the he has paid the victory. He has won it all for us. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. Yes. You know, tomorrow marks the seventh year that we started Hope Community Church. Amen. Yes. Tomorrow. January 6, 2013. I remember it like it was yesterday. We didn't start in this place, but we started in a much smaller place on the corner of Roselawn and Main Street. And we have just been faithful in the small things, and God has blessed us with more. Amen. So we just thank God. Can you just say, God, thank you for 7 years. Thank you for 7 years. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And there's so many of you that has been a part of this church since the beginning, and we are truly grateful for all of you. That was some rough times. I mean, because whenever we had a rainstorm, guess what? We were picking up 2 inches of water right before service because it kind of flooded in our building. But thank the Lord it does not flood in here. He has been good and gracious to us. Amen. The Lord is good. Now, I'd like to start off this service just with a video before we jump into it. The series is titled All In, and we hope that you guys will go all in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Amen. So let's watch this video.
We talk here a lot about attention to detail. I know you do. You dualies hear it all the time. You guys are trying to train them. People told you the same thing. Most of the time you're going, why does this matter? You know, the fact that your socks are rolled a certain way isn't what matters. It's the fact that you pay attention to detail. These are my buddies. They're Mike Gould's buddies. Magoo is Mike McGuire. Mike McGuire died in an F-4 accident. Got a little distracted doing a nuclear bomb toss, rolled over. As he started to pull, he kind of drifted the nose low, watching the bomb probably, not paying attention. He hit the ground going real fast. The board decided that if he started to roll and pull 0.2 seconds earlier, he might have lived. 0.2 seconds. Dave Meyer was flying as number 4 in an A-7 flight in Turkey. We called him Yamu because it means little mountain, supposedly, in Japanese, and he was a big boy, played O-line on the football team. One of the nicest human beings I've ever met. He went lost wingman when his flight went above the weather for a weather abort. Nobody really understood why he went lost wingman. They just realized later he flew almost straight ahead, probably looking up in the air for his flight because he couldn't hear him on the radio, and flew into the ground. In the investigation, they determined that his volume knob and his radio had been turned down. Probably when he bumped it with his glove, reaching for a switch nearby. Seems like such a little thing, doesn't it? John Vosburgh was flying 22 feet low on a low-level route in Korea. He was certified to 100 feet. He was about 22 feet. Didn't have a radar altimeter. Hard to tell 22 feet. Unfortunately, there was a new cable that had been strung at 78 feet above the ground. And when he turned into the sun, another minor mistake. And because of the glare, couldn't see it, it hit his OV-10 and it disintegrated in midair. Chico Lavelle was crouched on the front seat of his F-4 at Nellis Air Force Base, waiting to do a ground egress because they had a fire behind him. Somehow he and the backseater had gotten the terminology confused, and when one of them said get out, the other guy thought he meant bail out and ejected him. And he was decapitated by the canopy. Attention to detail. Is it important? You decide. But when you leave here, you better have it.
Attention to detail. Pay attention to the detail, those small things. And so some of the small things he talked about was, you know, the volume knob was down on his headset, so he wasn't able to hear the right thing. So he wasn't able to perform the correct maneuver. It was a small thing which cost him his life. And today we want to, just as General Mark Walsh, and he was talking to his U.S. Air Force cadets, and he is getting them ready for battle. He's saying, look, pay attention to the detail. Pay attention to those small things that can have the potential to destroy your life. And so just as General Mark would do that. I believe that Jesus would do that to us this morning. So we're in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 through 46. Pay attention to the details of our lives is the title of this one. Verse 36, say go Saints, or who dat whenever you find it. Who dat? Who dat say gonna beat them Saints? All right, enough of that. All right, verse 36 says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven. So this is Jesus talking about the end times, talking about his return, whenever he's going to come back to the earth. And that is the hope of every Christian, of every believer, that, hey, look, we're not alone in this thing, that Christ is coming back one day. And he's coming back for a bride who has made herself ready, who is spotless and who is without blemish and without wrinkle. He is coming back for his church. He's come once, and he has come in the form of flesh and blood, but we believe and we have the hope that he is coming back again. Anybody excited that Jesus is coming back again? Amen. Now, it does say that in this verse that no man knows the hour. So even though you have people who try to pretend like they know when Jesus is coming back, and you have people who try to prophesy this is when Jesus is coming back, the Bible is clear. No man knows when Christ is coming back. This is Jesus, the words of Christ. For as were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, unto the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So Jesus compares his return back to the days of Noah. So just for a moment, if you think about what happened in the days of Noah, people were sinful, people were evil, they were doing evil things. And it says that the earth was full of violence. And because their sin was rising to the Lord said, I cannot tolerate this sin. I must, because he is a just God, because he is a holy and righteous God, I must send my judgment. And so he wipes out the earth. But he spares Noah. He spares his entire family because Noah was a righteous man and he loved the Lord. And so Noah and his entire family were saved. But Jesus says, but just as those people in the days of Noah, they were unaware. They were unaware of their spiritual depravity. They were unaware of how far their sin has brought them away from the will of God. They were unaware. And so Jesus says, just as it is in the last days, it will be just as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the last days, where people will be unaware of their spiritual condition. You know, it's interesting, though, Jesus, whenever he's talking about this verse, he's saying, look, people will be busy. They will be doing their normal things like eating and drinking. They will be marrying and giving into marriage. Now, those things in itself are not bad things. You know, it's necessary for us to eat. It's necessary for us to drink. It is necessary for us to get married and multiply the earth and have a bunch of babies. And you know, so that way the human beings can continue to progress and live on the earth. So those things are necessary to living. Those things are necessary to life. Jesus is not saying, hey, look, just because you're doing that which is necessary is wrong. But because you're doing that which is necessary and you're disregarding your spiritual walk with God, you're disregarding those specific details of living in godliness. You might be doing those things which are necessary. Yes, you have to show up tomorrow and Monday morning after the holidays, and you have to show up on your job, and you have to show up on time. Amen. Come on. Can I have some believers who show up on time on their job and you're demonstrating what it's like to be a godly Christian? You're showing up on time. You're giving it your very best, 100%. There are things that you have to do each and every day. But at the same time, that you do not neglect the details of your spirituality. So the problem is that they were not that they were doing that which is necessary. The problem is that while they were doing that which is necessary, they became unaware of their spiritual depravity. Now, you know, at the beginning of the year is so awesome, right? It feels so good. It's like a brand new start. It's like Though you may have had some mess ups in 2019, you may have not gotten it all right in 2019, but 2020 is like, man, it just feels good. It's like, man, it's a fresh slate. I can start all over in this 2020, in this new year. And many people go all in. So this series is going all in. Many people go all in at the beginning of the year when it comes to fitness, all right? When it comes to getting fit. I mean, gym memberships just go out of the roof, right? Everybody gets a gym membership in January, right? But by February, there's no one in the gym. There's like two or three people just, you know, working out. It's like, but and so the thing is this, and, you know, I do encourage you, you know, to take your fitness seriously. Take your, you know, you have been given this body and you are to be a good steward over your body, just as you're to be a good steward over your money. So if you have any fitness goals or if you don't have any fitness goals, that you would, hey, say fitness is important. Staying healthy, keeping this temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit, keeping it right and keeping it in line. So that's just a side note. You can give me comments on that later. But, you know, the interesting thing about spiritual and physical depravity, it doesn't start right away. You don't automatically become obese. It starts with one plate of food, and it goes to two plates of food, and three plates of food, and four, and more, and then eventually you have a problem. You have a health problem. Just as spiritual depravity doesn't start right away. It's one sin, and you get comfortable with that one sin, and then one sin leads to another sin, and then another sin, and soon those sins become habits, and then those habits become your identity. Or perhaps you're a Christian, you're a devout Christian, you're reading the Word, you're spending time in prayer, you're spending time worshiping God, and then all of a sudden you miss one day of spending time with the Lord. Or you miss one Sunday, no big deal, right? You go on vacation, no big deal. I mean, we go on vacations. But then one day becomes 2 days. One Sunday becomes two Sundays. You know, and then soon you're missing not only two Sundays, but maybe you're missing a month. And it's been like a month, you know, before, since you've went to church, or it's been a month since you spent time with the Lord. It's been a month since you've read the scriptures, since you meditated on the Word of God. It's been a month since you prayed and had a quiet time with the Lord. So both spiritual and physical depravity starts small. It starts with those small things. Like we were talking about the small details, the volume knob in the airplane. It starts with those small details. So pay attention to those details. You know, when we think about the depravity of man, we also have to think about the depravity of our nation as a whole. And as we were traveling back from Alabama, my wife informs me of an article she found in Newsweek. And it really starts to talk about how we as a nation are becoming more like Hindus and less like Christians. And just let me explain a little bit. You know, the Hindus, they believe that there are many paths to God. That, hey, if you want to do yoga, then that's your thing, and that's cool. You know, if that's your thing, if you want to do Buddhism, if you want to do that, then that's your thing. If that's your way to God, then yeah, go ahead and do it. If you want to do this, then if that's your way to God, and if that's what works for you, then yeah, go ahead and do it. That's what this culture is telling you. That's what this world is teaching you. Hey, if it works for you, then great. But if we are to be, and because of this, because we have so many different ways to God, we're on a spiritually moral decline. And because we're not paying attention to the detail or paying attention to the scriptures, whenever Jesus says, no, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. What about that verse? What about that verse? Because of that verse, everything else is null and void. There is no other way to the Father. There is no other way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You cannot make your own way. You cannot add anything to God. You cannot add anything to Jesus. It's Jesus plus nothing. That's the way to salvation. But yet we will try to say, you know, no, if that works for you, then that's great. No. according to the Word of God. And so that's the thing. According to the Word of God, are you in the Word of God to know the Word of God? Are you spending time in the Word of God to know what He says about these different issues? What He says about moral issues? What He says about sexual immorality? Are you in the Word to know these things? I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. When we go back to verse 40 in Matthew chapter 24, it says, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. So apparently there's consequences for not believing, for not paying attention to the details. There's consequences for living a life apart from Christ. It says that whenever Jesus returns, that He's taken some people, but He's not taken others. In other words, He said that there will be people in the fields doing the same job, the same occupation. One will be taken and the other one will not be. There will be women grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one will not be. There will be one welder at a shipyard welding, and one will be taken and the other one will not be. There will be one electrician that will be taken and the other one will not be. There will be one grocery store worker that will be taken and one that will not be. That's what the Word of the Lord says. So why is that? I believe the ones who are taken have not only given themselves fully to their occupation and worked hard, but they've also paid attention to the details of their spirituality. They say, hey, you know what? Yeah, it's important to work. It's important to do those things which are necessary, but I'm also going to do those things which are necessary to my spiritual well-being. I'm not only going to prepare myself in this life, but I'm going to prepare myself for the next life. I'm going to devote myself to spending time with the Lord. I'm going to devote myself to coming to the house of the Lord. I'm going to devote myself to raising my children in the ways of the Lord. There are those who were taken, and there are those who were not. Now, in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15, it says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, the worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So we are to be productive citizens. We are to give it our very best. In the job, the occupation, the school, whatever it is that you do. But at the same time, you need to be paying attention to the details of your spirituality. Then it says in verse 42, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day the Lord is coming. Stay awake. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay awake. That's for all those who were sleeping in church this morning. Amen. Stay awake. I'm just picking. Stay awake. And so whenever you look at this word in the Greek word, the original Greek word is Gregorio. Gregorio. That's the way it looks to me, so that's the way I'm saying it. Gregorio. It means to give strict attention to be cautious, to be active. To give strict attention to be cautious, to be active. Jesus is saying, give strict attention, stay awake, for you do not know when I am coming back. You do not know when the enemy will attack your life. You do not know when I'm coming back. Stay awake. Amen. Now, just a reminder, he is telling this to his disciples, those who were closest to him. And every single one of those disciples have died without seeing the Lord's return. But yet Jesus would say, stay awake, for you do not know when I am coming back. In other words, you are to be on guard. You are to pay attention to the details of your spirituality. You are to pay attention to those little things that you allow into your life. You know, if you are serious about fitness, you pay attention to the details. You pay attention to what you allow into your body. You pay attention to the calories that you burn. You pay attention to the time that you spend in the gym. Whenever you go to the gym or wherever it is that you do, you allocate a certain amount of time. You say, this is the time I'm dedicating solely to my working out my body. Right? And so you're counting the calories, you're watching the calories, and you know, if you have like one of these little cool smartwatches, you can compete with other people, and they keep you motivated. My wife says she just got one. She says that she's going to take me down, and then you know that I better watch out and all this stuff. I say, hey, bring it, girl. And so anyway, but we. You pay attention to these details because everything matters whenever you're serious about fitness. Funny story, you know, I've been working out probably about 5 years. I know it doesn't look like it, but anyway, about five years. And about 2 weeks ago, I went at a different time, and so I'm surrounded with different people. And I get on this machine. It's called the Hack Squad, and I'm doing it. And this guy, you know, he's blowed up, and he's a big old dude, right? He comes up to me, he says, man, you're doing that all wrong. I'm like, seriously? Like, I'm doing what the little sign says, you know, the little sign says, do this and do that. I'm like, he said, yeah, but you need to bring your feet back a little bit more whenever you do this, so that your weight is not on your spine, so that you're not breaking your spine, you're not hurting your back. Like, okay. And so I took his advice and I brought my feet back just a little bit. It was a little detail that made a big difference. I was doing it wrong. He said, hey, look, this is how you need to do it. And so I start paying attention to the details. And guess what? I felt a different leg muscle. I was like, oh, that's what's supposed to be worked out. Oh, okay. I was doing that all wrong. My back, that's why my back's been hurting. Very helpful. But it is because details matter. And details matter in your spiritual world. Those little things that you allow into your life. Those movies that seek root into your heart. You know, those video games that are just corrupting your mind. The enemy is out to, the enemy is a thief, and he is out to steal, kill, and destroy your life. He is out to destroy your joy. He is out to destroy your kids. He is out to destroy everything about you. He hates you, and he wants to kill the dream that God has placed within your heart. He wants to kill the plans and purposes that he has for you, that God has for you. And if he can get you distracted, if he cannot get you thinking about the details, if you can just spend time doing Fortnite instead of worshiping God and spending time in his presence, then he's got you. It's those little details that end catastrophic if you're not paying attention. Jesus would say, stay awake, give strict attention to, be cautious and be active in your physical goals. I mean, your spiritual goals. You know, if you want your kids to act right, we all do, right? Then you have to pay attention to the details. You have to be the one who teaches your kids to do what is right and what is wrong, because they know how to do wrong all by themselves. All right, they are born. They know how to do wrong. You don't have to teach a kid to do wrong. They know how to do that. They know how to do that pretty well. But as parents, it is your job to train up your children in the way that they should go. And when they are older, they will not depart from it, and that they will be men and women of God. But it's your responsibility. Pay attention to the details. Train up your children. Don't just let them do whatever they want to do. Don't just say, oh, well, I'm just going to be your friend and your buddy. They don't need you to be their friend or their buddy. They have friends. They need you to be their parent. They need you to pay attention to their lives and to discipline them whenever they need discipline. They need that. They need that love. Pay attention to the details of parenting. If you don't raise up your children in the ways of the Lord, no one else will. I guarantee you that. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility as a parent to instill into them godly truths. Verse 43 says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. You know, if we maintain this, if we go into 2020 and say, you know what, I'm going to pay attention to the details of my life. What am I spending my focus on? What am I spending my time on? And I'm going to really go in, all in, and I'm going to work. I'm going to set aside a time out of my day, each and every day, and spend time with the Lord. You know what? We live in a day an age where there are really no excuses. Because if you have a hard time, if you have a hard, maybe you really want to spend time with God. Maybe you really desire that, but you forget. Well, guess what? You have this little thing called a smartphone, and set you a reminder. You can set about 30 timers on a smartphone. Set you a reminder. Hey, spend time with the Lord this morning. Hey, discipline your kids. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever it is that you set those timers. And you start saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to be a person who's going to pay attention to the details, what I'm allowing into my life. Because the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 44 says, therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He tells his disciples, even though Jesus can foresee the future, and foresee that they would not experience Jesus coming to the earth and coming back, but he tells them to stay awake, and he tells them just to keep on persevering and to keep on watching and keep on paying attention to your details. Develop that relationship with the Lord. Spend that time in prayer. Commit yourself to fasting. Commit yourself to coming to the house of the Lord. You must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That is what faithfulness is all about, enduring to the end. Even whenever it doesn't make sense, even whenever you feel like giving up and you're going through so much adversity, persevere. Persevere, hold on to the end, endure to the end. Because this is what Jesus says in verse 45, who then is the faithful and wise servant? How many guys want to hear those two words at the end of your life? Well done, my faithful and wise servant. Well done, faithful and wise servant. Well done, faithful and wise servant. Well done, faithful and wise servant. You obey me. You paid attention. You were awake. You paid attention to the details. You paid attention to those small things that you allowed in your life. Well done. Good, faithful, and wise servant. You know, the wisdom of this world is foolishness. Amen. They would say that there is no God and that we're foolish for believing in God. But on that day, whenever we stand before God, we will be proven to be wise, while those who mock God will be utter fools, and they will see the folly of their foolishness. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. I don't know what the Lord has called you to do. Maybe right now he's called you to be a parent. Maybe right now he's called you, right now you're just you're a student. You're a son, you're a daughter, you're a worker, you work wherever it is. I don't know what the calling of God is upon your life, but as you are busy doing those things which are necessary, that you would take time to care about the details of your spirituality. You have to work. As part of the curse given to us by Adam, we can thank him when we get to heaven. But you have to work. You have to do those things which are natural. But you also must take care of the spiritual. The Bible says, blessed are you. Blessed are you when you do that. Whenever you, at the end of it all, that you would be considered blessed by the Lord and a faithful and a wise servant. So what does this mean for your life this morning? First, I would like to encourage you to pay attention to your personal devotion to God. How much time are you spending with the Lord? Are you setting aside time each and every day to get into his presence? Maybe you listen to a worship CD just to kind of start off your day. You read the scriptures and just allow him to speak into your lives. Add fasting with that. And I tell you, we have added fasting over the last year every Monday. We have seen God answer some prayers in our lives. If you're just needing a breakthrough in your life, would you fast for it? If you're just believing for that lost loved one to come back to Christ, would you begin to fast for that person? Do you love him enough? Do you love her enough to fast? and believe God. Pay attention to the details, worshiping and reading the Word. Pay attention to coming to the house of God. It's so easy, you know, once you miss one Sunday, to miss another Sunday and another Sunday. And then eventually you find yourself in this dry place. Make it your goal, 2020, that as often as the doors are open here, that you would find yourself in the house of the Lord, fellowshipping with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on, make it your goal. Pay attention to the details, because the details matter. I love coming to the house of the Lord. I am so encouraged whenever I'm with other brothers and sisters in Christ. It builds my faith. It lets me know that I am not alone in this thing. And that there's an army of people who love the Lord. There's an army of people who are serving God, who are going through some things, who are going through some difficulties, but they're hanging on to the cross. They're hanging on to Jesus. I'm so pumped whenever I come to church. Pay attention to God's calling upon your life. God has a unique calling for each and every one of you. And only you know what it is, and only God knows what that is. Pay attention to the calling that God has for your life right now. Pay attention to living righteously. That you do that which is right. You don't see, if you're paying attention, if you're awake like the scriptures commands us to be, you're going to see when the thief comes, when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy you, when he comes to tempt you, when he comes, you will see him. You will be prepared. Stay awake. Pay attention to living righteously. And last, pay attention to stewarding that which God has given you. Whether that's finances, whether that's time, whatever it may be, that you pay attention to stewarding well. Amen. So what is it that interferes with your personal relationship with God? What is it? What is that thing that is consuming your time? Where you don't have any time to spend with God. What is that thing? What robs you of your joy? What hinders you? What hinders your witness? I ask that you would bow your heads and close your eyes at this moment. And we're just going to pray as a church. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. And we thank you for your word. God, we thank you, Lord, and you have shown us, Lord, that we are to stay awake and pay attention, because the enemy comes as a thief. But Lord, you are also coming, Lord God. You are also coming, and we look forward to that glorious day when you will come and rapture your church. But Lord, till then, Lord, we will stay awake. Lord God, we will pay attention to the details of our lives. God, we will commit ourselves to worshiping you and coming to this house, Lord God, and diving into your scriptures. God, we commit ourselves to those things, to the small details of walking in godliness. I pray that you would help each and every person in this place to do that this year. And God, at the end of this year, Lord, we would see a different us. We would see a different church. We would see a different city. Change us, oh God. Make us more like you. Help us to be diligent, to be strict in developing our relationship with you. God, I pray that there will be nothing that comes in place of you, that there will be nothing that replaces you or replaces that obsession. But Lord, you would be our obsession. You would be our hope. You would be the thing, Lord God, the person, Lord, that we put our trust in. You would be our everything this year, Father God. We love you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place. And let God's people sing, amen.
Encourage you, go home, write a couple details down. I'm a detail person. Write those down and say, these are the things that I want to change in my 2020, and then stick to them in Jesus' name. Wednesday is this Wednesday, so we'll see you Wednesday. The thrift store is open. Go Saints, and hopefully they pay attention to some details too as well, like no flags and stuff like that. Amen. Love you guys. We'll see you soon.